put together a sheet for you to help them move through some of those practices in a season of life. On one side, we invite you each week to engage in one of those practices, and if you flip your sheet over, there are 40 days of prayer. So each day, we're inviting you to pray for someone in our community, to be mindful of them, and to be praying for them through the season of Lent. And now, also, we will be starting our new series today. This week, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to have a series on prayer. And if you remember, if you were with us over the summer, we had a series on the parables. We had storytellers who were helping to tell parables that were based on the book Tell It Slant by Eugene Peterson. Well, we're finishing up the second half of that book, which is all about prayer. So if you'd like to read and follow along, our series is going to be based on that book by Eugene Peterson. In the book, Eugene Peterson says, "Story and prayer are the language of our humanity. Story and prayer are the language of our humanity." And it got me thinking, so it got me thinking about language and how we use language, metaphor, grammar, punctuation, because they're all critical in how we communicate with each other, how we communicate with God. So I discovered that good grammar can save someone's life.
Nice.
Also, good grammar can save your reputation. Take a little while. I love the Oscar count. It makes me less crazy. So we're going to be talking about language. Language is our way of prayer. It invites us into relationship with God. And Peterson talked about how language is incarnational. That the words we use, the way we speak, it becomes embodied. As soon as we say it, it becomes us. A few years ago, the United Church of Christ had a campaign called God Is Still Speaking, and it was symbolized by a comma, and they wanted to kind of get underneath this idea that God continually comes to us over and over and over again, and so they quoted Gracie Allen, "Never put a period where God puts a comma." It's meant to speak to us, to be open to the continual presence of the Spirit, and to embody that love of God through our words and actions. So commas are important. Periods are also important. Periods invite us to full stop. Semicolons call us to silence. And colons call our attention to listen to a new idea. Our grammar invites us to listen. So when we pray, when we use language, it invites us to thinking and doing and being something more. Prayer is our first language. Think about it this way. Anyone can pray at any age. Jesus also said, "Let the children come to me." Have you ever seen a child pray? They pray in wonder, in images. They pray without inhibition. They don't ever worry about praying the right way. They just do it. Think about the joy of a child that you just can't even contain, or when they're totally embarrassed and they're so glad they can't find it either. It's all prayerful. Communication with God with simplicity and vulnerability. But I have to admit that I don't like to pray myself. I am so glad someone agrees with me. And I'll be honest, because in seminary it was worse. Like, one of my friends finally pointed out to me, like, clearly you are the last person to pray out loud. I was terrified of doing it. Like, there was going to be some magic formula, or I wasn't going to use the right words, or I wasn't going to sound the right way. And I had this terrible anxiety, I still do, about praying out loud. because it feels like a sacred moment. Like, how do I even begin to have the right words to capture the emotions and the experience and our longings and our dreams that all of us are holding in this moment? And how do we communicate this to God? And then you can see how I'm already getting in my own way. I remember my friend told me, this is really simple. You can just pray. It's called this five-finger prayer. Have you heard of this, the five-finger prayer? It's really easy. You invite God in, dear God, thank God, ask God, pray for others, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm like, I can't get that one, can I? But if I'm going to be even more honest, my formula didn't even work. Because it was like I was just pretending. I was going through the motions, and all I'm doing is covering up my own fear. And that's when I realized I was missing the point. Prayer is not about me. It's not about manipulating God into getting what I want. It's not about a magic formula that if I pray, God's going to do it. It's not my way of making things happen. Prayer is something more than that. So if prayer is not all those things, what is prayer? What is prayer?
For me, it's an opportunity.
An opportunity to live.
Communication with God.
Communication with God. Thankfulness. If you're going to paint a picture with words, how would you describe your experience with prayer? If I was going to describe prayer, I would describe it as staying in touch with authenticity. Because I think prayer is rooted in the real world, with all of its messiness and pain, thinking through conflict, struggle with addictions. I think prayer also celebrates. It celebrates. It celebrates the simple gifts of life. It celebrates joy. Wonder. I think of prayer like a belly laugh after a really bad joke. I think of prayer also like that moment where you're leaning in for your first kiss. Right? And there are no words to really describe it, but it's this overwhelming sense of presence. But prayer is also lived in those dark places, in the storms. And prayer holds us when we are in silence or in tears. I think of the wails of a birthing mother, or the quiet of a daffodil emerging through a snow-covered ground is a prayer. Prayer isn't just about our words, it's about all of creation, and it's embodied in all of us. So I'm going to invite you into a time of prayer called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is the prayerful reading of Scripture. And it has a visual liturgy to it. And so I'd like to invite you to look at the images and to read the words of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and read them prayerfully, contemplatively. Pay attention to the images, how they might speak to your heart, but also imagine yourself sitting in the silence and opening your heart to let God speak to you in this moment of prayer. Speaking to you in that moment. Did God place something on your heart? Is there something that you would like to share that you saw, recognized, focused on, heard? Did you hear?
hear God speaking to you as we pray together in the Lord's Prayer?
It's so easy here for me to look at that, to think about it, and to reflect on it. It's so hard when I leave the gathering.
So easy here, and it's so hard when I leave. When I think of this scripture,
I think one of the reasons why people who memorize the Bible or passages from the Bible, why they do it and why it works so well, is that then in life, when things happen to you, these words come to your mind, and you are brought into a pondering and an understanding. It's a way to open your heart to what God wants to say to you every moment of every day. And I think you don't have to memorize the whole Bible. Some people do, but just a few phrases and just let God help you pick the phrases that communicate to you. And then it could be a television show or something, and all of a sudden that word just comes to you. And I think that's one way we can really open ourselves to being mindful in it every day.
It struck me in the pictures that they are like
what's going on is everyday things. Feeding a baby, picking a berry, walking in a puddle, and that's how prayer is supposed to be. Just every day. It's things that present themselves every day as the opportunity for prayer presents itself every day.
In his book, Eugene Peterson talks about praying in Jesus' name. And that's the phrase for me that helps me remember in every moment, whether I be cooking dinner in my kitchen or walking through a puddle, or if I can see something or someone across the room, even in a tear or a sneeze or a hug or in a moment, it reminds me that God is present with us in each and every one of these moments, so that even when we are here or when we leave this place, that's the phrase that reminds me. Words becoming flesh. When I pray in Jesus' name, it reminds me of the connections between my words and actions. That prayer isn't something that I compartmentalize into a morning devotion or Sunday morning worship. And I also remember thinking about scripture, Betsy, in the beginning of the Gospel of John. John talks about Jesus is the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. So every time we say a word, it's like breathing in and inviting in Jesus. The other thing I think of all the time in terms of prayer, one of my favorite things is I love yoga. And I love the Sun Salutation, which is a series of yoga postures. And you kind of open yourself and you open your whole body and then you close it down. About different moves and ways, and it's like you feel it in your bones. But my favorite part is the end of the session of yoga. Your teacher bows to you and says, Namaste. Namaste means the divine in me greets the divine. Language is sacred work. And I often wonder at the power of our words. Do you ever notice in our culture that it's like this constant bombardment with words? They come at us from every different angle. And even in silence, I know I get anxious in silence. We feel like we need to fill it with more words. But prayer reminds us that we can stop and that we can listen. And that when we have silence, I think it also reminds us again that when we speak a word into it, that word has power. So if our words are so powerful, and we pray in Jesus' name, what does that mean? Do you end your prayers in that way? I think I end every prayer. It's one of the first things I was taught, to pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It is inviting Jesus in. It is taking on his image. It is saying the word namaste. The Jesus in me greets the Jesus in you. And it's not a magic formula, but it's an invitation to welcome Jesus' presence and his teachings into our lives. It's inviting in a sacred moment that says that I don't have to separate these two things out. That even when I leave here, I can continue to live and be and breathe and say and do in the likeness of Jesus. So in those moments when I'm screaming in my car, because I'm doing that. Or in those moments of frustration when my kids are screaming in the car, I remind myself to pray in Jesus' name. It's that moment, because Jesus is in every moment, but how do I recognize that? How do I embrace that? And how do I stake my life on that? And that brings us to this morning, and thinking about all of those stewardship stories that we've been listening to for the last few weeks. The last 3 weeks at the barn, we've had different people sharing of their lives, how God has come into their lives, how God has changed their lives in incredible and meaningful ways, and how God has also had an incredible impact on our community in ways that they may not have first ever been able to imagine. And I think prayer does that. Prayer invites the presence of God into our lives, and God works in us and changes us. We begin to see things differently. We begin to love more boldly. We forgive when we think that we don't have the capacity to forgive. We can heal someone else when we might not be able to do the doctor's work, but just by sitting and being and holding and loving and praying, it's a healing action. And here at the barn, I think we are crazy enough to believe that when we invite God into our hearts, that power of love not only changes us, it has the capacity to change the world. And so we've heard those stewardship stories, which have been a powerful witness to how God works in our lives. And I think that is part of our invitation to our love offerings today. To thinking about how God changes us and how we want to participate in that loving. So I'm going to invite Sue to come forward to share again about the hands, which now have this beautiful primrose flower in them, as a reminder that God plants seeds in our lives and in our community, and they can blossom in ways that are beyond our imagination. But a reminder to you that we don't do this alone, that we do this in the presence of God. And God is with us for the journey.
Is
So we've asked you over a number of weeks now.
Be careful about your giving this year, particularly given that we are facing getting our training wheels on the stage we've been using, right? We've been riding with a lot of help from the outside, and now that help is kind of, you know, removing itself, and now we're kind of have this ride fully on our own, and it's scary, and it's a rush. And it's awesome and wonderful and frightening and all those things, like when those training wheels first came on. And so our artist team has graciously allowed us this wonderful art piece, reminding us that it is all from God's hands that we make our offerings. And we have looked at hope in the midst of ashes and dust, and we have looked at what it means to plant seeds of compassion. And we've had all these wonderful conversations through the eyes of the prophet. And today we come to start a series on prayer where we offer our hands in a new way. We reach our hands out, we open them up to God, and we offer our gifts for this year. It was the commitment of the vision team to you several weeks ago at the town meeting that on this Sunday, love offering Sunday, following Valentine's Day, when people would be asked to make their love offerings, that the following week, which would be next Sunday, we will report back to you, because we want you to know we've told you about the deficit, now we want you to know that we have made that and plans going forward. But I want to say that several people could not be here today, not because of the weather, but because they could not be here today. And so about a dozen people have already made gifts to the love offering. And the only people who really know your offerings are Kim, our business administrator, because she records it, and Joe, because we plan the budget. And I have to say a word of gratitude to the dozen or so of you who have already given your love offerings, because for me, as a pastor who knows many of your circumstances, who knows who's retiring, who's changed jobs, who has left a job recently, who's in debt up to their ears, who's going through divorce, and know all these things captured, and to see the gifts that have come forward, they truly, at least to me, knowing what I know about your circumstances, it feels very much to me like this is God at work. Like, there's no way many of you would have taken the leap that you have taken, created by prayer and a real deep felt commitment to God through the work of this community we call one. And so this morning, our regular offering will be taken a little bit later, but this morning we wanted to give you special opportunity to come forward, this with this lovely little Valentine's Day boxes for, and to make your love offering. A few of you have already made them who are here, but I know many of you have come with us today. And then we want to dedicate this offering to the glory of God. So we want to give you this moment of prayer as you offer your love offering. And please come forward if you would like. If you choose not to, you can certainly put your love offering in the regular offering that will be coming. But we wanted to kind of set this apart as a commitment to God, your commitment to God in your offering. If you did forget your love offering sheets, we've put them like on every other seat so that you can complete it if you would like. And we invite you now to a moment of stillness as people make the offerings they have been prayed for many weeks. Let's honor God.
Thank you.
opportunity at God's provision. We have presented to you an honest assessment of where we are, and some of you have asked that, what you can give, and we understand that. Others of you have literally increased in what is coming, and some of you have doubled what you are doing. I mean, which is just amazing. The great news is that God provides, and if we trust, and I think our hearts are in the right place, and we're doing the things that are pleasing to God, God seems to find a way to provide. A couple of you have even come to me and said, I can't increase my giving, but I will work to do such and such, which can raise money, which is, you know, equally just a wonderful gift. And so for your generosity and for the Spirit of God that has moved within many of you to be able, those of you who are able to increase your giving, we want to give thanks. Let us pray. Grace God, it is your Spirit that changes us. It is your Spirit that makes us more generous than we might be otherwise. It is your Spirit who calls us to do things that seem pretty risky to us. It is the kindness of your Spirit that comforts us and loves us and cares for us and challenges us and stretches us and grows us and gives us wisdom beyond that. And so we pray your Spirit that it continues to bless this community, that it might bless it with the monies that it needs to continue to do the work of your community on earth. We thank you for the generosity of heart that is in this community. It just seems to be in its DNA. And we thank you because you are the giver of that DNA. You are the giver of generosity. You are the one who has given so generously to us that it becomes pretty impossible for us not to be generous with others. And so we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the way you have moved among us. And we pray that as we bring all this together, that it would work together for good, that this community might continue to be a community that shines in the darkness, that brings light to those around us, a community where love wins in the long run, and a lot of the times in the short run, too. We give you thanks for the commitments that we've made here today and throughout these last couple weeks. We pray your blessing upon us, that they might bring to us the good news, that we don't need to worry about these kinds of things. We can just go on and start doing the work of daily ministry. Bring us close to yourself, we give you offerings, we pray in Christ.
Does anyone have a prayer request?
For my daughter and her family, she still has postpartum and they need some extra.
For our Palm School District,
anyone else?
Hopefully, push legislation through. Will value our kids over God.
Anyone else?
That my name is Kelly and his name is can adopt the way we get the talk.
Seventh grade student at our school that Wyatt is not in the cancer.
Wyatt? Heavenly Father, I welcome into this gathering as we pray. And I lift Wyatt to you, Amy Houses to you, so both of them have cancer. To Kelly and Amy that want to adopt a child to love one. To to our own Alyssa and Matt and the struggles that are going on there, that you heal Alyssa's body. So that she is able to help Matt combat the things that he is dealing with at this time. For a member of our gathering, teachers that have lost their lives trying to protect the children, that through the strength of those children and the families there, that finally we get some legislation passed that honors the preciousness of life, that this nation doesn't become like the nations that we go out and support and help protect, that we realize that all of these issues start at home, and we need to deal with these things now before they let cancer grow and consume us to the point that we cannot heal from it. I ask you, Father, just to bless this nation and heal us for the things that we're going through, those families, that you just wrap them in your arms and comfort them and give them the strength to work each and every day to get up and realize that the lives of their loved ones lost will make a difference in this world, that they didn't die in vain. And I ask each and every one of us that you bless each and every one of us, that we can be a spokesperson in that situation as well, that we can contact representatives and let them know that something needs to be done. You bless the world, Father. All of the ugliness that is going on right now, the fighting everywhere across the world, that you gave us something beautiful, something that we can hold on to, something that we could grow with, and that our families can grow, and our children, and their children, a beautiful world that we all can share in peace and tranquility. Let us be reminded of that. And I ask you all of these things in the name of your sweet Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm sorry, and I want to lift Betsy's daughter and her family and the things that they're going through. Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Just out of gratitude for the many.